On this episode, we discuss Morbius.
Live from Brooklyn, New York!
This is the point where the people who've never been to these shows before are like, oh, they're really just sitting at that table.
Yeah. I apologize to everyone sitting in this general zone.
Apologize for how much of Elliot they get to see?
Thank you.
Thank you. You need to sit over there. Because I'm not tall enough to really be seen over the table. So if you want to see me, you got it over there.
Elliot was doing some squats backstage, and guys... He's got it.
Thank you. Thanks.
He's got it.
He's got legs. It. Yeah.
Yep. Take him down.
So, should we start the show now?
Yeah. This is a podcast where we watch a bad movie and then we talk about it. In this case, this is a live show. We're back live.
Yay! Woo!
For the first
That's
time.
Right. The first time in
a long time.
Over 2 years. And so, of course, we went to our old homestead. The Bell House.
I mean, honestly, this is where I would want to be. I love this place. The staff are great. Tip the bartenders. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's extremely convenient for 2/3 of us. Not you.
Not so much for me. Not so much. But I tacked on a visit to my family in New Jersey, so it's all worth it.
You can write off your love as a work expense.
Oh, I've been doing that for years.
Morbius. What about this movie?
Well, everybody, we're talking about Morbius today. That's right, Morbius. It starts with an M, and that rhymes with movie. No, wait a minute. Hold on. Movie starts with M, and that rhymes with
Uvi.
Uvi.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Which is not
which
a word.
Which kind of sounds like Oogie Loves.
Yep.
And the Great Balloon
Which is
Adventure.
A movie.
Which is a different movie. So, Morbius, I don't have to tell you all in the audience or you listening at home that Morbius was meant to be the movie of the summer. It was the movie that was released to theaters only to die, only to rise again and be released a second time to die yet again. Just like Jesus, except dying a second time. Let's see, did Morbius deserve this unheralded fate? I mean, it's a Morbius movie. Of course it did. Like, before we start talking about the movie, we're going to summarize this movie. I'm curious, show of loudness or hands in the audience, how many of you are familiar with the character of Michael Morbius before this movie was announced? Okay. Surprising amount.
It's too
and
bad that
remember, this is a podcast audience, so those numbers should be way
it's
higher.
Not a, this is not an accurate sample size of the American population.
Well, he made a point of calling him Michael Morbius, leaving out the fact that he did all that hard work to become a doctor at age 18.
Sorry, Dr. Michael Morbius. You're right. Dr. Michael Morbius, MD. Perhaps, I'm just going to...
Morbius Doctor is what that stands for.
I'm going to... Morbius Doctor...
It's a little redundant, but he insists upon it.
He gave himself the degree. I think we could all... It's like Rand Paul with ophthalmology. He licensed himself, I think I'm going to say something that a lot of... Might be a bit of a controversial thing among Spider fans. My second least favorite Spider-Man character.
Wow.
Yeah, ask me who my least favorite one is.
Who's your least...
Molten Man, piece of shit. What a crappy character Molten Man is. He's not even really molten.
What is... does he melt? What does he do? What
he's covered... Hot metal covered him and somehow gave him super strength and thick skin. And he started out as a crazy guy, but he's also Spider-Man's friend Liz Allen's half-brother, I think. So now he just wears a suit and goes to work every day. At the chemical
company. Like the metal suit or just a normal suit?
No, a normal
suit. He works
suit.
At the same place that he had that workplace injury?
Yes, he does. It's a family business, so he couldn't sue.
You know... They're economic pressures.
He's a terrible character, and Morbius is second terrible. And he comes from a time when the comic book code, this is going to be boring, the comic book code in the 1970s, they used to...
I mean, we can skip it.
No,
it's
can't.
Always an option.
No. People saw it was a Morbius episode, so they said, get boring. Yeah.
Okay.
There was a rule that said no vampires. In the 70s, they were like, you know what, you can have vampires. And Marvel was like, great, let's have Spider-Man fight Dracula. And then Stan Lee said, no. It's got to be a superhero vampire, not Dracula. And then Dracula showed up later in the Marvel books anyway. So they invented this guy. Anyway, Morbius begins in the misty jungles of Costa Rica. And so we see a helicopter go into a cave full of bats. And it just made me feel bad because Costa Rica is also where all the Jurassic Park shenanigans have. When will American monster stuff stop using Costa Rica as its stomping grounds? You know, it's not fair to the Costa Ricans. It's a lovely country. They're pretty laid back there. They don't even have an army. And it's like, you know what? Leave them alone. Anyway, so that's my pro-Costa Rica rant.
Yeah. Stop sending American vampires to Costa Rica.
Come on, everybody. So there's this cave full of bats. What's weird is that Michael Morbius, I think, is already at the cave. He's like, the helicopter shows up. It's unclear from the editing, at least to me, whether he was on the helicopter or he was just there waiting for his ride.
Yeah.
And he's on, oh no, he does come out of the helicopter. That's right. He comes out on crutches. He's amazed, he says, by the power of these vampire bats. And he sets up a big trap that's like made out of electric strings or something.
Yep.
And the helicopter pilot is like, I don't want to stay here past sundown. And this is the problem the movie has, is that it seems to confuse vampire bats with vampires, which are not the same thing. Vampire bats are just called that because they drink blood, but like, they're bats. They're just bats.
Yeah,
they don't bite you unless you're asleep and you're a cow. So you don't really have to worry about it.
Better get your garlic
ready. I do only
ready.
One of those things.
Yeah, that's
so
true. And your CPAP machine is so loud, it would scare the bats away.
Scare the bats away.
It would mess with their echolocation and they'd crash into walls and, you know.
Now, here's where I reveal the surprising twist that I have seen Morbius twice at this point.
Yeah, okay.
As someone who...
I feel bad. I said all those bad things about Morbius before. Dan's a real Morbhead. He was so excited. So finally, my favorite Spider-Man character, second favorite, Molten Man, he said, is this finally they're going to make a movie out of him. And he raced to the theaters.
As a season pass holder at the Alamo Draft House and someone who has... You know, interesting work schedules.
I think at the time you were, let's call it, amorphously employed.
Yeah. My friend John was like, I'm going to Morbius. I'm like, hell yeah, let's do it. And
it's 2 o'clock on a weekday.
I'll never die.
there is no greater spitting in the eye of God than seeing Morbius twice with the limited time that he has given you on this earth. Each man gets 3 score and 10? I don't think so. I'm seeing Morbius a second time.
You make fun of me, prophet.
We were watching the movie this afternoon, and Dan got up to go to the bathroom, and he made me pause it.
A half-truth at best. No, I just wanted to say that like,
you
I was...
saw it twice. Now you get
only
it.
This... Well, no, I mean, the second time, I do get something, which is, like, this first scene is set up as if it's going to be a framing device. Like,
yes.
Everything in watching movies, like, movie language taught me to think, like, okay, this is a scene. We're seeing a bit of it now. We're going to return to this point at some part of the movie. We never return to this point. This is not a framing device. This is just, like... We want to see bats up top, and then we'll get into chronologically telling the story.
Yeah.
But in between Dr. Michael Morbius being a child and being an adult, soon-to-be vampire man, there is this scene that we saw earlier, I think.
Yeah, it's told out of order in a kind of a, you know, magical realist sort of Gabriel Garcia Marquez style.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a brilliant work of
You expect
yeah.
Michael
genius.
Morbius to get surrounded by bats and turn and face the camera and say... Hey guys, you're probably wondering how I got here.
Yeah.
This hairdresser's smock, surrounded by bats.
Cool guy like me.
We learn over the course of the movie, but we don't.
No, you don't. No, well, we do learn. But anyway, so Morbius cuts his hand and he holds the bloody cut up to the trap. And of course, because bats, like sharks, I guess, can detect a little bit of blood in just a lot of air, the bats rush out of that cave to get at that sweet blood, and the crew of the helicopter runs away as Morbius stands up to the bats bravely and lets them, I guess, lick at his hands. Because then we cut to Greece. It says 25 years earlier, even though it seems like the 1950s, but this is like 1997. And we meet young Michael Morbius, not yet the kind of guy who would stick his bloody hand against a bunch of bats. And he loves origami. That's important. Ugh. And he lives at a hospital because he's got a rare blood disorder that makes it hard for his body to do stuff. And he's watched over by Emil Nicholas.
That's a technical term.
I mean, they don't really go into it much. Dr. Emil Nicholas, played by Jared Harris, one of my favorites.
That's right. He went to Jared. Twice.
I'm regaining my strength. Hold on.
So Dr. Jared Harris, he goes, oh, there's this new kid, Lucian. And Morbius goes, all the kids who sleep in the bed next to me are named Milo. Your name's Milo now. And inexplicably, they're now best friends.
Yeah, and also later, as Stuart and Charlene pointed out when we're watching it, Jared Harris refers to this kid as Milo.
It just becomes his name. It's crazy.
And we're supposed to like this guy who has put this other name on this kid.
Yeah. That's not how names work, usually. And they've got this rare genetic disease. They need infusions of blood 3 times a day. Very rough. And across the street, a bunch of mean Greek teens heckle them. Oh, those Greek teens. Oh, that's what the movie Grease was about, how mean they are. So one day, Lucian passes out because his blood machine breaks down, and Michael Morbius fixes it just in time. He's just a kid, but he knows how to fix this blood machine. And Dr. Jared Harris is like, you should go to a school for gifted kids. And Michael writes a letter to Milo / Lucian saying, hey, this isn't goodbye. I'm going to find a cure for us. And then Milo
like
goes
say,
outside. He immediately goes outside, and the Greek teens tease him and beat him up.
Yeah. Immediately without his dark protector. But, no, like, this is, it's funny to me that Jared Harris is like, oh, there's a school for gifted teens. Like, he's like, do you know a team of scientists had to design that machine and you fixed it with a spring from this pin? And I'm like, yeah, he didn't have to rebuild the machine. I couldn't fix some Milo's machine if you put that as a test to me. But I don't think it's, like, amazing that he's like, oh, the power. I need to link the power. Like, he acts like, I don't know, I'm sending you off to spring school to be a spring scientist.
Yeah, he's the world's greatest springologist. And but it is like, he's like, you defeated their machine. You must be smarter than them. So cut to, I guess it's 25 years later from the place we just were, because Dr. Michael Morbius is all grown up and getting the Nobel Prize for creating artificial blood. And Jared Harris was presenting it to him, which seems weird. He's not on the Nobel, maybe he's on the Nobel Committee, in which case he should have recused himself if his former patient and friend and protege is winning.
Also, if anything, he looks younger than he did 20 years ago.
Jared Harris does. Not Michael Morbius.
Not Michael Morbius.
He
takes care of himself.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they specifically say that the synthetic blood Dr. Michael Morbius invented has saved more people than penicillin, which is a lot.
That's a lot of people.
Biggest effect a superhero has had on the world.
It's far, far better than the other stuff superheroes do, usually. Every now and then they save the world.
Yeah, destroying Sokovia.
Oh, wow. Hot takes.
Whoever talks about that these days.
Yeah.
It's amazing these good works came from this bad boy, Michael Morbius, played by Jared Leto, a genuine real-life bad boy who supposedly does bad things. But we learn in the next scene that he rejected the Nobel Prize despite being there at the ceremony. So I guess he waded through the whole
speech. Could have been an email.
He showed up. His mentor talked about what a great dude he is. He gets up to the podium and I guess was like, peace, this sucks, walks away. And he never really gives a reason, I think, as to why he...
Yeah, he just wanted to hear everybody boo him as he stormed off.
He goes, I feed off your hate. Well, I feed off your hate. Boo me.
I think he says, like, I can't accept an award for something that was a mistake, which, speaking of penicillin, correct me if I'm wrong, like, it just seems like, yeah, just take the award.
Take the
jackass.
W, dude.
Well, considering Dustin Hoffman won a Nobel Prize for the moment in Midnight Cowboy when a car almost hits him and he goes, hey, I'm walking here, which was also a mistake. That wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, I can't believe they gave out Nobel Prizes for moments in movies back then.
It was a thin year. It was a very thin year for physics. That was the physics Nobel Prize. Dr. Morbius is telling this all to a child patient who thinks he's a real badass for turning down the Nobel, and he's with his love interest / partner, Dr. Martine Bancroft, who says that you are pushing yourself too hard. This isn't good for you. But she's figured out his secret, that in his secret lab, which is across the hall from where his patients are... He has been mixing human DNA with bat DNA. And he's got a big tube, and when you press a button, it fills with bats like a money tunnel
He's got a bat zone in his... And sometimes they'll be talking, and we'll hear it, like, muffled as if we're in the bat zone watching them. And then the camera just pans out of the bat zone, and we hear them normal. It's crazy.
It doesn't really work, is what you're saying, technically.
And you were pointing out earlier that he's acting as if he's hiding these bats.
Yes.
When if you just turn the lights on in the bat zone, you see the bats.
The bats show up. Someone's got to clean that room. Is Michael Morbius doing the janitorial duties for that room? I don't think so.
Just like, some science meant that there's a lot of guano in there.
The other thing is the tube is guano free, which means someone is really working hard.
Yeah.
Bats shit like crazy. And that stuff is phosphorus heavy. So So anyway, she finds this big tube of bats, and he's like, you know, vampire bat saliva has a unique anticoagulant, and if humans could make that, it would cure my disorder. And it's like, hold on, dude. So would you be, like, spitting into your own blood? That doesn't make any sense. Hold on. And this is the first part where the movie is sort of slowly establishing over the course of the film that vampire bats are magic in some way and that they have supernatural powers without ever going so far as to say it. And there's a lot of points in the movie that would make more sense if they were like, oh, yeah, bats are magic, instead of this kind of made-up science stuff. Okay.
It's my favorite bat store in Brooklyn. Bats are magic.
Yeah.
And some local humor for those listening over the podcast.
I hope the people listening to the recording are also in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, this is too much. You shouldn't tamper in God's domain. And he's like, big things only come from pushing boundaries.
You're
just look at all the great
scientists, dude.
Yeah. Well, but there are limits. I mean, but on the other hand,
there are limits. But this is definitely one of those things where it's just like, oh, you're tampering in God's domain. It's like, yeah, I guess. But in real life, you know, combining yourself with a bat doesn't turn you into a vampire.
Well, I'll remind you. I'll remind you, Dan. This is a movie.
I get it. I think that you've pointed out how, like, conspiratorial thinking has been unhealthy for the world.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of these Frankenstein derivatives that are like, oh, science will inevitably lead to monsters running amok. And it's just like, no, science, it's going to help us, guys. Chill out.
Yeah, worst case scenario, there's thousands of nuclear weapons just lying around. But that's
okay, not all
I'm just saying it's a double-edged
course.
Science sword, everybody. Boo, science.
Fine, you found a counterexample. I guess everything I said was wrong.
I did it. I bet you don't even know what AR stands for in AR-15, Dan. Debate me. Anyway, so I don't really think that. Anyway, Morbius is like, I'm just injecting a mouse with this human bat DNA, and the mouse dies immediately. But then they get called away, and they come back. That mouse is doing great. It's up and kicking. It worked.
And it's got, like, this little costume on. It looks like a real vampire.
Yeah, it would have been so amazing if they came back and the mouse, they're like, wait a minute, this mouse isn't showing up in a mirror. Hold on. Yeah. I'll just feed the mouse.
Let's offer it this garlicky pizza slice.
Yeah. Oh, it's shrinking away from it. Well,
it's
eating
the cheese, but not the garlic.
I'll just do what I always do every day and baptize this mouse in holy water. Oh, he's burning. So, this is the point where in my notes I wrote, they put a patient in a coma, and that's why I wrote in my notes, Leto's performance is sedate to comatose itself, because this is a guy who's supposed to be kind of like a charismatic bad boy of medicine. And I don't know if you guys felt the same way. It's almost like he is already dead throughout the movie. His energy is so low, and I wondered if he was, and not like Han Solo, who's charismatic and full of energy.
Yes.
His energy is so low that...
How low is it?
That it's hard for him to carry a whole movie.
Oh, really?
And I wondered, do you think he was doing this because, we've all heard the stories, that he was so into this character that he figured, this character would have trouble going to the bathroom, so I will also have trouble going to the bathroom. And he was taking so long to go to the bathroom in between takes that it was putting the movie behind schedule. So do you think that he was also like, this character would be very low energy because he doesn't have a lot of blood
Elliot,
in him?
Elliot, was that a
That's
true
a true story?
Okay, I have to check.
He apparently would
I couldn't tell whether it was a joke about Jared Leto or
he would apparently, well, I mean, this is just a story I heard. I wasn't there. He'd apparently limp on his crutches to the bathroom and I guess, you know, close the door at privacy, you know, and nobody knows what was going on there, but it was taking so long for him to go use the bathroom and come back that it was putting them behind schedule.
Yeah,
they had
I
to
mean,
come up with they had to come up with a compromise, which is someone would wheel him to the bathroom in a wheelchair.
It just sounds like, I mean, like you as a man with two children probably understands the joy of going to the bathroom and staying there for a while.
By myself.
Yes,
yeah, I thought
exactly.
You meant with them. I thought them when my child who can use the bathroom by himself goes, come with me to the bathroom. But I want you in the room, but turn around, don't look at me.
No.
And it's like this is weird.
I'm
before
saying
the show,
a way to
get
to the
bathroom.
Oh yeah,
all.
Very much so. Yeah. Oh, I'd love to go in there, read for a while, you know. Anyway, but that's besides the point. The point is, guys, why is Jared Leto so non-existent in this?
Maybe that's what he thinks a smart person does.
Oh.
Like, maybe he thinks a smart person leans against stuff and closes their eyes a lot.
Okay, I believe it. Okay,
the thing he leans on are crutches and his long hair and special effects.
So Michael goes to visit his friend, grown-up Milo, who he still calls Milo, and he's become kind of a decadent wastrel who's still attended to by Dr. Jared Harris.
Played
and
by a Doctor Who.
Yep, that's true. It's Matt Smith?
Yep,
right?
Matt Smith. Yeah.
And Milo tells Michael, hey, whatever you do, if you find a cure, I'm backing you 100% with my money. And Morbius is like, well, it might not be technically illegal what I'm doing. And he goes, okay, I'll do it. You do whatever you need to, but don't fall in love.
Hold on.
Which is weird, which just seems like unnecessary advice.
Not only does he say it might not be technically legal, he's like, we need to do it in international waters.
Yeah.
Cut to a Chiron of a ship.
That says international waters.
International
right?
waters. Now, look, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on maritime law, good. But... And the topic seems fairly complex. That's why there are people who go to law school for it.
There are people who specialize just in that kind of law.
But in my...
In the law about how much time it takes to marry somebody.
In my cursory... My cursory Googling of international waters...
One half of the audience loved that joke, and the other half did not like it. Which makes... We're in Brooklyn. It's a port city. There's half of the people here work in the maritime industry.
My
the stevedores were not happy.
Yeah, they're over there. No. Frank Sabaka's scowling at you. Yeah.
My brief research confirmed what I suspected to be true, which is that international waters is not the criminal's panacea that
you're saying.
That popular culture would have us believe.
You're
that,
saying if they want to do this experiment, they would have to go on the money plane.
I'm saying that if you commit a crime in international waters, you are subject to the laws of the country you're from.
Oh.
So,
well,
so they're not trying to become a vampire out on a boat, I guess I'm saying.
So they're on a boat with a bunch of boat mercs.
A bunch of mercs gambling. For some reason.
In case any pirates come by and say, I'm the captain now. They've got these mercenaries. And Michael Morbius and Martine, she's on board with the experiment now.
Literally.
And they mix the thing and the computer says, success. Because I guess the computer knows. And they banter, and then he hands her an origami bat, and she injects him with the serum, and he starts convulsing like Norman Osborn inhaling goblin gas. And this crew member, this merc comes by.
Thank you for putting it into words I'll understand.
Yeah, I'm like, what movie is this Stuart scene? What in the story of Ricky O could be in this? And so this crew merc.
Head of
like,
the family, is there anything yeah. there?
Nope. He's almost gets the point of ripping his own ding dong off. So this mercenary comes in, just starts harassing Martine, which it's like, these people hired you. What are you doing? And and then they go into the Morbius room. He's not in his chair. That's right. He's hanging from the ceiling and he's got fangs now. He turned into a vampire. And the crew member is like, I'll shoot it. That doesn't work. And Morbius attacks him and bites him. He's gone feral. And he's just throwing himself around the cell. And the crew comes in and they shove Martine to the floor and she hits her head. And Morbius just killing everybody in bullet time. And we get some cool Morb eye view scenes as he's stalking the crew through the ship.
But this is like the weird, like the mercs are on the ship.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. So there's someone that Dr. Michael Morbius, the living vampire, can murder.
Yes.
That we don't feel all that bad about.
Yeah, they're already bad dudes, yeah.
Yeah, but it's so
them
baffling
gambling.
To me. Because it's like, isn't this your buddy Matt Smith's boat? Why do you have these angry men with automatic weapons who are arguing with you at all times?
I mean,
anyway.
It's a good question.
And
I
this,
mean,
is the, this is the first real action scene we see. So the action is, there's a lot of like smoke trails coming off of Morbius.
Yeah,
and
he moves
both very fast and also very slow sometimes.
So he's constantly followed by these kind of either purple or black smoke trails, depending on what he's wearing at the time. And I read, or at least the Amazon Prime trivia told me it was inspired by Pokemon movements. So, because it makes sense, because in this movie, they got to catch them all being vampires.
Yeah, I mean, later on, we sort of are able to surmise that these like weird CGI trails are kind of his echolocation, kind of like airflow around him.
Yeah, something
but
like that.
It,
yeah.
At times, honestly,
he's not carbon neutral. Let's just say that.
Honestly, there were a couple times where I thought this looks cool, and a lot of the time it looked like CGI mush. Especially towards the end.
Yeah, one of his powers is he can do echolocation like a bat, where he kind of zones out and his ears get little ripples.
Yeah, ears
like
get real wrinkly
chips.
And ripply. Yeah,
and it's kind of like it's basically detective mode from the Arkham games.
Yeah, we'll get to his full power set when he tells us
spoilers.
Anyway, Morbius wakes up and now he's back to normal, except he's jacked now. He's no longer the frail Michael Morbius who looked like Samuel L. Jackson in Glass. Now he's like Michael Morbius who worked out for a movie role. And he finally puts on a shirt, and he walks to the wreckage of the boat and checks Martine. He can hear her heartbeat and watches the security video of him killing everybody and is so sickened he throws up, I assume, the blood that he drank. And he calls for an emergency airlift but takes the vials of Batman serum. But they never say Batman in it. And that's, here's where we get the stars of the movie, FBI agents Al Madrigal and Tyrese Gibson. And I will say this. Al Madrigal, friend of the show. He's been on our podcast. I thought he came out probably the best of anyone in this
movie. Yeah, he made a meal of this shit,
dude. He had a bunch of funny jokes. He did not embarrass himself. I want to see more of him in the movie. Tyrese is fine. Tyrese is fine as the guy that Al says jokes to and he goes, mm-hmm, and then walks away.
I think he's let down by being the tough cop, whereas Al's the funny cop.
Yeah, and they're investigating to find out all the security footage was wiped and the bodies were drained of blood. Martina's the only survivor because Michael Morbius has disappeared. And Milo sees this story on the news.
I do like that the police are immediately like, it's a vampire.
Yeah, they do not.
Like, no question. They're immediately like, it's a vampire.
Put out an
APB
for a guy with a widow's peak who doesn't drink wine.
Let's get APB, I mean, all points Blade.
If Jared Leto's walking around, you're like, it's that fucking dude. come on.
He does so much to make it obvious that he's a monster. He's always wearing like a hood, real scary-like, and skulking around. But I did enjoy that usually in horror movies, there's the part where someone goes, look, these bodies were all drained of blood. It's a vampire. And they're like, sure it is, pal. Throw him in the crazy hatch. And then, no, you gotta believe me. And a vampire's a killing person after person. They're like, ah, what's going on here? But here, they're like, it's a vampire. We've seen movies. We know vampires.
A fucking boat shows up with a bunch of dead boat mercs drained of blood. I mean, that's a Dracula move, dude.
That is Dracula. I mean,
that's how he shows up.
There was a vampire in Brooklyn just last month.
Dan, I hate to tell you, it was actually almost 30 years ago. You're very old.
How old am I?
You age quite a bit.
Oh, God. But my youth.
It is pretty ballsy of them to have a boat full of dead bodies show up, since that literally does happen in Dracula. Like, I wish Al had just been holding the Cliff Notes of Dracula and put him down and was like, seems like a vampire, all right.
It all fits.
And Milo sees us on the news and is like, that's my boat. And so Morbius, he goes to his lab. The serum is wearing off, which leaves him weak, and he's drinking bags of artificial blood for strength. He has this overpowering urge to drink blood, and he tells us in voiceover, because I guess he started a journal, that when he drinks blood, he feels
He talks into his little vape pen.
He's physically strong, and he parkours around his office, and he can hang upside down like a bat, and the bats welcome him, he says, like a brother, which is ridiculous. And he's got echolocation now, like Stuart says. He has kind of ruffles ears and stuff. But the artificial blood is losing its effectiveness for him. Soon he'll have to choose between drinking the blue, the artificial blood, or the red, the blood of real live people who have blood in them.
It's always about politics, huh?
Yeah. And Milo goes to Michael's lab, and Michael's like, I need some blood. I'm real jonesing for it. And Milo's like, hey, here's some fake blood. Wow, you're strong. Have you been working out? And he goes, I want that cure too. And Morbius goes, no, it's not a cure. It's a curse. Go, go. But later that night, a nurse is attacked by something vampire-y in the hospital, which also sometimes seems to have the power to make the lights flicker on and off.
Well, so
is the vampire just standing there pressing the switch?
It's like power-saving lights. It's supposed to, like, follow you as you go down the hall and then turn off. That part makes sense, but then later on, like, all of the lights just sort of shut down, even though they're still, the vampire's still eating her, so I don't know. The answer is the director thought it would look cool.
I like how you started out kind of explaining it, being like, it's okay, and then you end up admitting that it didn't make any sense.
No, none of it made sense.
It sounds like you're explaining it to the victim up before they get killed by a vampire. Like, don't worry about that. You'll be fine.
Don't worry. You'll look really cool.
The lights are not your real issue. Drained. Don't worry about them. There's a vampire stalking you. So the next day, Morbius, was he at work or something? And he hears people going, hey, they found this nurse's body drained of blood. And he's like, oh. And Al and Tyrese try to arrest him, but he escapes by climbing up the inside of a big Guggenheim-style stairwell. And then he goes to the roof, and then I couldn't quite understand this. He almost gets blown off the roof. What was this supposed, like, by what? Wind? What was this telling
us? Yeah, I mean, I think he, like, later on he flies on wind
he
like
can
a
glide
vampire
on
does,
air
right?
Currents. But was this trying to be like, his bones are lighter now, so he can't stand up to the wind as well on this roof?
Probably.
It's just it makes him look like a real wuss. And especially because Tyrese catches him.
My one weakness, wind.
Yeah.
So he runs away from the police, and then the next time we see him, he's in like a maximum security prison, and I'm like, that guy almost got a fucking Nobel Prize, and they don't have any actual evidence against him, right? Other than the fact that he did it because he's a creepy vampire. I mean,
the evidence, I guess. Okay, what? Let's say we're the DA. We're making the case against Michael Morbius. Okay, so we know Michael Morbius is a creepy weirdo with
it's
a tooth full
of
bats.
Right, we're playing.
Okay, yeah, and we know that a nurse that works with Michael Morbius has been drained of blood. Who are the suspects? There's a guy with a big tube of bats. So let's start with him. I don't know who our other suspects are because there's almost no other cast members. At a certain point, we have to start suspecting the FBI agents because they're the only ones left in the cast.
I mean, I think that what's-his-face, Jared Harris, you know, he, as far as I recall, he's Moriarty. So he might be...
Okay, fair. Okay,
a
cool.
Criminal.
And he's also, a Russian nuclear physicist. So that's
true.
Yeah, that's hard. But yeah, you're right. Other than the fact that Morbius is a... possibly known vampire.
It's Jared Leto.
It's just kind of wild that he is immediately in prison.
Yeah. And so,
yeah. America's most beloved citizen, Dr. Michael Morbius, under arrest tonight.
But it's such a great story. Nobel rejecting scientist arrested for vampire murder. Oh, it's like... the headline's right itself. That's the headline. Anyway, it didn't write itself. I said it, but you know what I mean. So Morbius, he's in jail, and he's like... the fake blood isn't working. I don't know what to do. And the FBI agents interrogate him, and Jared Leto's going feral, and he's like, I'm hungry. You don't want to see me when I'm hungry. Which is like, I guess they're a little joke version of the Hulk's angry line, but it's he should have said hangry. Yeah. He should have said, you wouldn't like me when I'm hangry. And then Tyrese would be like, what's that? And I'll be like, it's the thing that kids say. It's hungry and angry together. You're so hungry that you're angry.
So this fantasy
like,
version,
well, why would you just
you're
say angry?
Explaining slang to Tyrese.
Explaining slang to Tyrese.
Oh, okay.
Considering all respect to Tyrese, he is a man who saw a fake Martin Scorsese quote saying that Morbius had changed his mind about superhero movies being cinema, retweeted it, and then had to take it down when it was revealed to him that it was a fake.
That makes me feel sad.
It is a little sad.
That makes me
it
feel
shows
sad.
A fair amount of misunderstanding of Martin Scorsese's thinking, but you know. Milo goes to visit Morbius, and Morbius is like, maybe I did kill her. And Milo's like, there's no way you did it. There's no way you did it. And then he leaves and throws his cane away and stops limping because he obviously did it. Like, he's a vampire now.
He leaves a blood bag and his cane, and the corrections officer's like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah. In Morbius'
they don't
cell,
pay me enough.
I could understand if the guard is going to overlook a bag of fake blood.
Because maybe they're going to have a prank show.
But a cane, a heavy-tipped cane, has been left behind. He's just like, I don't know, whatever.
Also that Milo goes
this guy's got to do a Kaiser Soze thing and walk away.
That Milo is like, I'm his lawyer. I'll go in. And I guess they never check to see if he's a lawyer or anything like that. Like this. Anyway, he obviously, even Morbius at this point, I was watching the movie and I'm like, how long is it going to take moron Morbius to realize Milo did it? But Morbius realizes it instantly. He drinks the blood Milo left behind, turns into a vampire, and just smashes through the wall because vampires can smash through cement. He tracks Milo down and finds him right after Milo eats a news vendor who is mildly rude to him. And Milo's like, yeah, I killed that nurse. Anyway, Morbius, embrace being a vampire. It's totes cool because this is what vampire movies about white people are about. As I said in my presentation before the show, listeners of the podcast, you missed it. White people vampire movies are about how it's kind of cool and sexy to be like a criminal vampire who drinks blood and is kind of damned but kind of cool because you know you're kind of getting, you're going to get forgiven for it later when you get a job at your dad's company or whatever. So it's fine. You can be a vampire for a little bit and sow your wild blood oats and then go away. But they do a vampire fight, which leads them into a subway station labeled Front Street.
It's a very New York-style London subway station.
But with its curved tunnel and British-style escalators, it is really it's an amazingly
There's a
New
crumpet-selling
York...
station.
The fact that as they're fighting, they pass Paddington only proves that it's a New York station.
Would you like some marmalade on your ticket, as is traditional here in New York City?
New York.
If Paddington had been there, it would have raised the fucking stakes so high because I would have been like, don't touch that beautiful bear.
Yeah.
I mean, almost every action movie, the stakes are higher if Paddington's there. Look, the convicts have taken over the plane, and Paddington's on that plane. The plane's full of snakes.
The only good
and Paddington.
Thing in this world, Paddington?
Why is someone selling Paddington plane tickets? The president's plane is being taken over by terrorists, and Paddington is on that plane.
And we're in the movie theater, and Elliot's like, Stuart, where are you going? And I'm like, I gotta get on that fucking plane.
Gotta save that beautiful bear.
Just like Mark Wahlberg, if I was there. Nothing would happen.
A lot of bad behavior we're referring to tonight. Okay, yeah. So a lot of bad boys in the literal sense of doing bad things when they were boys. So they're fighting. They're in this very fake New York station, which they didn't even give the name of a real subway station. Front Street is a real street. It used to be the eastern part of the island, Eastern
cool.
Shore,
yeah, cool.
until the landfill filled
nice,
in
really
and created
cool,
more
thanks.
Of a downtown. But anyway,
yeah.
directed,
but they don't have a station there. Anyway,
yeah, sure.
And Milo fights some cops for a minute, and then he monologues for a little bit, and Morbius is like, I'm going to cure you. They're about to find the platform when Morbius realizes something. Wind. The kind of wind that comes when a train is coming into the tunnel. And he stands there for seemingly 17 hours, putting his hand into the wind to kind of gauge the aerodynamics, and then he just suddenly, whoop, glides away on the wind in front of the subway train,
now,
and it looks so silly. It looks so ridiculous.
I'm gonna,
a human leaf. Like it's.
I'm going to Snopes this and tell the audience that human beings are not shaped properly to take advantage of Bernoulli's principle.
Okay.
We will not cause lift, and we cannot glide on the wind like a leaf. That's just in case you want to try this.
Don't try
at
it.
Home.
When you're on,
you will fall to the ground.
When
and
you're
die.
On the subway platform tonight, and you feel that wind coming, that beautiful
step
wind.
Back.
Step back. Please stand away from the platform edge. Do that right off the bat. A helpful voice will tell you the same thing in kind of a passive-aggressive way. And then, but do not really fight the urge to jump in front of that train and fly home, because it is not going to work out well for you. You will go home, but only in the way that sailors drowning, only the way that sailors were drowning say it feels like going
sure.
home.
Like a spiritual will speak of talking.
Yeah, yeah, spiritual.
Going
you'll,
home.
You'll go home to the creator. Yeah,
yeah.
You won't go to your apartment. And your cat will be like, where is this guy?
If he's gonna, he should have the decency to die in his home so I can eat him.
Dan, you beat me to it. You
oh,
beat
sorry.
Me to it by half a second. No, I'm proud of you. Anyway, so Morbius finds Martine and he feels ready. He's like, hey, I'm a vampire now. And while they're at a cafe or a diner or something, he overhears some thugs talking about crime. And then he follows them to an underground science crime lab and throws them all out and makes it his own crime lab. And this scene raises so many questions about how the world of Morbius
works. It's also
a
counterfeiting lab, but he's going to use it for, like, biological science.
Yeah.
The thugs are trying to pass a counterfeit 100, and the woman working the register is like, this is fake, I can't take it. He's like, well, how about you take one for yourself? And I'm like, that one's fake too, dude.
This
hey,
one's,
she just
this
doesn't
one's,
want trouble.
Just, then you take this one. It's totally real. Don't use the pen on it. Don't.
Yeah.
Sir, it has a picture of William Franks on it. This is not a real... Anyway, so...
Is that Top Cat?
This is...
Oh, but when... So when he takes
my friend,
over...
My buddy John Lithgow thinks you should take it.
Nothing but respect
it's
for my president.
Money. I don't understand.
You know, when they take over this... when they take over the printing press lab... He does the bit from the trailer where the thug whose hand is being shattered is like, who are you? And he says, I'm Venom. And in the trailer, he's like, I'm actually Michael Morbius. But that isn't in the movie.
No.
So he just tells a guy he's Venom, and that's it? And it doesn't make sense.
I know. So that guy thinks Venom came in and bothered him. He's like, Venom flew all the way across the country. There's the other earlier Al's like, this is weird, like that thing in San Francisco. And it was like, oh, I get it. Venom, wink, wink. And they just says, I'm Venom. It's like, all right, well, then why were they beating around the bush earlier? I don't... But yeah, so now he's stolen a crime lab. He killed a bunch of people on a boat. He's stolen a crime lab. He's unfairly cast aspersions at Venom. Very difficult. And meanwhile, Venom's having troubles of his own on the other side of the country dealing with Woody Harrelson's wig. So anyway... And Milo threatens Martine at the lab, so Martine goes to Michael Morbius' crime lab, which I guess he sent her an address change note so she would know to go there. And she cuts herself, and he smells it, and he's tempted by her blood. And so they go up to the roof and kiss, because she's turned on by his bloodlust. He says it awakens a primal hunger in him. And she goes, me too. She doesn't really say me too, but, you know.
And then they get Burger King together.
And then they get the primal hunger for Burger King. Why don't we have it our way? And they go, do you want soda with that? He goes, I don't drink soda. Unless I can use the cup to mix all the different sodas in the dispenser together.
Not even diet soda? No, studies have shown that it also contributes to obesity.
It's still not as good for you as water. Okay, but if you press the water thing, it's in the Minute Maid, so you're still going to get a little bit of juice in there. Oh! All right, I'll take a 2-liter soda. He turned into Max von Sydow by the end.
Yeah, love it.
This is just him in that movie where he moves to the United States and settles a farm. What's it called? And but he's
Strange Farm.
No, that's not. It's neither of those. Never mind. Okay, so the FBI agents, they see the surveillance video of the killing. They see it's Milo, not Morbius. Great, Morbius didn't clear his name. Modern technology.
And it's
did.
One of those things where they pull up the CCTV footage and they're like, computer enhanced. And it's this perfect image of Matt Smith, who we had previously seen dancing. Did we talk about him dancing?
No, we have. So. We haven't yet got to the, oh, did we skip the dancing
He's
scene?
Fucking feeling himself. Oh, baby.
Oh, you know what?
Because
yeah.
he's like
you
fucking know dancing
we skip
with
the
his
dancing.
Shirt
Let's
off.
Let's talk
his
about this.
The thing is, his clothes still fit, even though he's way more jacked.
Here's the thing. So, one, he's very rich. He could have had them tailored that day.
That's
Milo,
true.
He's and exercising. He's dancing. And then every now and then he just throws in front of the mirror like a vampire face, like, into the mirror. Like, he's like a kid getting ready for the prom.
He's constantly fucking face morphing. It's crazy.
I will say, okay, let's take a moment to talk about the face.
So is that science or is that science or magic? Because it happens
really
fast.
I mean, it's the science of special effects that make his face morph like that. Right? Oh, you mean in the movie?
Yeah, I mean in the movie.
There's
is
no,
it supposed to be magic or science?
There's no magic mentioned in the movie, so you
so
got
to supposed
say,
to be real.
It's
like,
supposed to be
they
science.
They can morph that fast.
Yeah, it's how bad. Vampire really bat fast. DNA. Vampire bats morph their faces all the time.
Yeah, that's why vampire bats, they go...
And they
morph
can't their
trust
teeth?
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they don't morph their teeth. Vampire bats have the same teeth all the time.
No,
they don't even have fangs. They have kind of little saws that they use to cut open cow
right.
necks, and they lap up the blood. They don't even suck the blood. They just lap it up like a cat. Again, cats. Anyway, so Milo is really feeling so. Let's talk about the CGI effects, because I actually thought they did a really good job with the CGI face effects in this. I'll give the effects people credit. By the end of the movie, as with all action movies, the effects kind of fall apart a little bit. But early on, I was like, they're doing a good job of giving him a little Morbius no-nose, because Morbius the comics doesn't have a nose.
Yeah, there's no nose.
Is that your Elified no-nose of the week?
This week's Elified no-no. Look, use CGI to take someone's nose off their face. Don't do it the Roman Polanski way and just cut it with a knife, because that's not okay. He does that in Chinatown.
Yeah, it's hot on this stage. Let's.
All right.
I assume it's also hot in the audience.
All right. So the FBI is like, hey, it's Milo, it's not Morbius, which is, they shouldn't show up on cameras if they're really vampires, but I guess they didn't, it's also,
they're living vampires, Elliot.
Good point. It's also one of those movies where the cops are like, how are we going to see who did this? And Tyrese looks up and sees a security camera and goes, closed circuit TV. It's like, yeah, that's the first thing you should check, dude. But Jared Harris sees the news, and they talk about Morbius, and the news they say, dubbed the vampire killer. And I was like, say dubbed the living vampire. It's his name. Like, that's his tagline. But anyway, Jared Harris goes to Milo and says, hey, I can help you. And Milo's like, I want help. I'm the vampire. And he slashes Jared Harris's belly
and
roars a bunch.
He hits him with his, like, sonic boom punch.
Yeah.
He has this special move where he punches you and then, like, sound radiates.
Yeah, because bats. And so, and Martine and Morbius, they create an antibody that kills bats and humans. We would just call that poison, but but I guess you need special science for it. And he makes two shots, one for Milo and one for himself, because by tomorrow he's going to need human blood. And Jared Harris is like, Morbius, come find me. And Morbius goes, and Jared Harris is dying there. And then Morbius, using his super hearing, he picks up Milo threatening Martine, and he casts an echolocation wave over the entire island of Manhattan and manages to narrow target in on Martine's heartbeat on top of a building. That's nuts. And so, and he's all morbed up now, and he leaps up and he glides across the updrafts of the city, trailing purple magic smoke like just the pot dream
sure.
he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's and she goes there and she's like, drink my blood, make my death mean something. And he's like, no. And he kisses her and she bites his lip. But then he gets her blood and then he drinks and she dies.
Yeah,
and
she gets there's like a bit of splashback.
There's some CGI blood that falls
out.
Now,
Elliot, when you're watching this, did you start singing to yourself, feed on me when you're not strong?
I didn't.
You drink my blood.
No, that's very good.
It helps you carry on.
No, I didn't start singing that.
Hey, Elliot, did you start singing, this turd is a vampire?
Set to suck. Yeah. And he roars, and he's going to go out, and Milo's applauding. He's right there, and they fight. They plummet off a building through a construction site. This building they're plummeting through is roughly 4,000 feet tall. And then they smash through the ground and fall another 4,000 feet.
Yeah, it's like a weird cave underneath.
It's like a sewer canyon. Like,
yeah.
It's,
Now, I got to tell you, like, when we watched this afternoon, we couldn't figure out how to dim the lights in the room we were in, so this was all just like
a mishmash. You couldn't figure out how to hit the lights. It's Metallica. Anyway,
yeah, so you felt left out when we were singing, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did. Anyway, so maybe this is a great climax. Dan and Stuart, they watched it without me this afternoon because I had family stuff to do. I watched it on my own, again, on an iPad while doing the dishes. So maybe this is a beautifully wrought action scene.
All equally incoherent. Okay. Sorry, we'll tell
there's you. A lot of fighting and there's blah blah and there's smoke everywhere until finally Michael screams so loud that it lets out an energy wave that attracts a huge horde of bats who surround him his brothers, and I guess they give him strength, and this would make so much more sense if it was magic, like, but it's not, it's science. So it's kind of the way that, like, I guess when you're psyching up for like a varsity football game, like your team brothers all circle around and you're like, do it, yeah, you can do it, you know. It does, I assume they do that. I didn't play football, but anyway. And again, if he was magically connected to bats, it would make sense. It doesn't. It's all science. And Michael attacks Milo with his last furious bat strength, and he stabs him with the killer serum, and Morbius sadly devamps as his friend dies. And the cops and FBI show up at this big hole in the street they made, and it looks so much like they showed up in the Bob's Burgers movie. And I wish it was just a little crossover. It's not. And a huge tornado of bats emerges. Who knew there were so many vampire bats in the sewer canyons of New York? Yeah. I guess there are. And Martine opens up her eyes. She's now a vampire. And Morbius flies up into the sky and then straight into the camera. Credits. Movie over. Yep. Thus begins
one
movie number
think.
Two. Because, okay, the credits start, and this is among some of the decisions made in Morbius are baffling, some are not baffling. This is the most baffling to me, is the first mid-credits scene. There's two scenes during the credits? Yes. And it feels like nothing more than that the second episode of the Morbius TV show, a couple scenes were tacked onto this one to bring it to feature length.
Because this Batman movie already has one Joker, now it needs a second Batman, baby.
Yeah, so that's... Because we see as the Vulture, Michael Keaton from Spider-Man Coming Home Again, he teleports into a prison cell and he goes, "Hope the food's better here," or something. He instantly understands
hilarious.
That he's in
what
another universe.
It's a fucking laugh line. It's like, it's amazing.
Huge
the crowd
laugh line.
Loses their minds.
And the news is going, a hearing has been set for the man who calls himself Adrian Toomes, who somehow mysteriously appeared in a prison cell, but of course, not belonging to this universe. There are no crimes on his docket, so why would we keep him in the prison? We don't know. And they let him go. And you're like, what does that have to do with Michael Morbius? That's really weird. That's the guy from another dimension. I don't understand. I mean, I love to see Michael Keaton always. It's like, yeah. You know, and he's playing
Except
his character
Birdman.
Of Birdman, best picture winning movie.
Yeah, sure.
And so he's played a Batman. He's played a man who played a Birdman, and he finally played a Birdman. And so then we get credit scene number two, where Morbius, he's driving fast down a rural highway. All charges dropped. He's a legal vampire now. It's like the end of Short Circuit 2. He's the first vampire citizen, I guess. And he stops... And he checks his watch. Someone's late to the meeting, and he morbs up as the Vulture, Michael Keaton, in full armor with a mask on, so it's probably not Michael Keaton
now,
there, but it is his voice.
I want to pause here to say something very nerdy. He swoops in using his normal Vulture suit, which I'm like, well, how did he get
He
his
built
hand
it, Danny built another one.
But that's like from fucking Chitauri, like, tech that he got because he was part
yeah,
of
Chitauri.
The cleanup team when the Avengers... You know, you know what I'm talking about. This is space technology.
So in this one, he used Atari tech. I don't know.
Okay.
Look, Dan, you just watched the Morbius movie. You're gonna quibble with how a guy built
it. I said it was goddamn nerdy.
Yeah,
Elliot.
Good point. Fair point. You're right. You inoculated yourself against criticism.
Yep. I'm just saying. This opens up a lot of questions.
It does open up a lot of questions, and Vulture shows up, and what's really funny is they were clearly. Not in the same place. When this is shot, he's like, or either that or Jared Leto has taken not reacting with the same level that his co-performer has to an amazing new degree. Because a guy has just, with huge turbine wings, has just landed in front of him, and Morbius was like, "Hey, what's up?" And Vulture says, "Hey, I think we should team up." And Morbius goes, "Intriguing." Cut to credits. Why would this be intriguing?
Yeah, what?
He's not a superhero. He's not a supervillain. He's a doctor who's also a vampire. Why would it be intriguing for it to team up for
it's
what?
Intriguing because
he's neither a criminal.
A potential Sinister Six movie is a thing that Sony wants to do for some reason.
Are they going to co-author a paper on something? What?
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out the answers whenever the Kraven movie comes out. But it was such, there was almost part of me that was like, movie, you made yourself worthwhile by having the most baffling scene I've ever seen, where it was like, yeah, these characters show up in each other's movies, and then they like hint that they're going to be in a movie together without ever wondering why these characters would show up in each other's movies or be in a movie together.
These Sony post-credit scenes are nutty.
It feels like...
So we've gone short on this one so far?
We're going to do our final judgments, whether it's a good, bad movie, a bad, bad movie, or a movie we kind of like. And I'll tell you something, there's no video to cover this in the way that we do when we do streaming shows. But I'm going to run and pee as you give your final judgments.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I just really
I don't want to Owen Wilson all over you, but wow.
I really need you.
Wow.
But I will hear you from
over your thunderous urine.
I'm going to quickly say, the first time I saw this in the theater, I was like, oh, there's part of me that likes the first half of this movie that feels like an old 90s like superhero movie where like, people didn't think superhero movies were going to be successful. So
they try to
like,
hide that it's a superhero movie.
Yeah, they're like focusing on third-tier cut characters. But this is a bad, bad movie. Anyway, gotta go.
So, Stu, well...
Dan runs off, can't defend his argument there.
First, he calls himself a nerd. Can't argue with me, I'm a nerd. I'm not supposed to say his stuff. Then he's like, can't argue with me, I'm not here in person, I'm peeing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. It's hard to say. This is a bad, bad movie. It's fairly boring. It has some good moments, but it's bad, bad. Come on.
Yeah, it's a bad movie, although I did not like it until Dan earlier said the same thing to me about it feeling like a 90s movie where they didn't really know how to do superheroes, where suddenly it's the thing that where a movie that is bad, you see it when it's in the theaters and you're like, that was dumb. And then 30 years later, you're like, I'm kind of affectionate for that dumb stuff. And then you see something that's like it and you're like, this is dumb. But you know, it reminds me of this other dumb thing that I didn't like at the time, but now I'm inexplicably nostalgic for.
I mean, there's a couple like the weird detective mode bullshit I like, but come on. I mean, it's not, it doesn't take any actual risks. It's fairly boring.
Well, I mean, it's a movie that doesn't, at no point during this, they were like, what should a Morbius movie be about? Like, that, and it's such a, I'll give them credit. It's hard to make a good movie about Morbius. Let's just get it out there. Yeah. He's not a character with a lot of what I would call potential. But, well, maybe someone yelled at Molten Man, of course, my least favorite Spider-Man character.
And it's saddled with a star with, let's say, not the most star power.
Yeah. And also, it's a movie that, I don't know, you know, we've enumerated a number of flaws, but let's just say that the weird thing about this movie is that the studio that made it didn't get the joke of everyone on the internet pretending they wanted to see it because it was so obviously not a thing you would go out to see and just not understanding. And there was something kind of purely beautiful about that. In a world where... people say sometimes we live in a post-ironic world, and this was the first time where I really felt it, where it was oh, they don't get that people are ragging on this movie. Like, they really think, like P.T. Barnum said or whatever, that all publicity is good publicity, and they're going to release this, and people are going to go crazy for it. And they didn't, because it's a character with... and they were like, hey, nobody knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were, and that made a boffo B.O., but, you know, it's a... there's something beautifully naive about that. Where, oh, Dan's back, everybody. Dan's back. Didn't learn his lesson and is drinking something.
Hey, it's John Moe, host of Depression Mode, a podcast about people's mental health journeys. Guess who we got? Guess who? It's Jamie Lee Curtis.
I look at life now as the game of guess who, which is simply the process of elimination. I know what I don't like. That's how I found out who I am.
Jamie Lee Curtis on addiction, show business, and fooling people, all on Depression Mode from Maximum Fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Manolo, we have a show to promote. It's called Dr. Game Show.
It's a family-friendly podcast where listeners submit games and we play them with callers from around the world.
Oh, sounds good. New episodes happen every other Wednesday on MaximumFun.org.
It's a fast and loose oasis of absurd innocence and naivete.
Are you writing a poem?
No, and just saying things from my memory. And it's a nice break from reality. Are we allowed to say that?
I don't know. It sounds bad.
It comes with a 100% happiness guarantee.
It does not. Come for the games and stay for the chaos.
Hello. This is a live show, and that means that, as always, it's me, Dan McCoy, with your patented solo ad read. Sorry if I sound a bit tinny. I forgot to get the digital recorder we normally use back from our tech man, Matt, after this live show. I have been doing this for 15 years now, and I still make dumb mistakes, but I'm recording it on my laptop to bring you all the great news about the people who make this show possible. Like, for instance, Squarespace, the all-in-one platform for building your brand and growing your business online. Stand out with a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything. Products, content you create, and even your time. Squarespace has many great services beyond just being able to build your website there. You can use insights to grow your business, learn where your site visits and sales are coming from, analyzing which channels are most effective. You can sell your products on an online store, whether it's physical or digital products that you sell. Squarespace has the tools for you to start selling online, and all websites are optimized for mobile. People look at it on phones. People look at websites on tablets. They're throwing them up on screens of all shapes and sizes. And content automatically adjusts so your site looks great on any device. At this point, if I was doing this with Elliot, he'd be like, Dan, I've got an idea for a website. Can Squarespace help me? And I'd say, yeah, sure, Elliot. And he'd say, yeah, it's called Is It Morbin Time? And it would just have a clock that would indicate whether or not it's Morbin Time or not. But because Elliot isn't here, we're not going to do that. Head to squarespace.com/flop for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code FLOP to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. And that puts me in mind of microdosing, because the next commercial has microdosing as the intro. You've probably heard about it. If not, just know that all sorts of people are microdosing daily to feel healthier and perform better. Our show today is sponsored by Microdose Gummies. Microdose Gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you to feel just the right amount of good. They're not going to make you feel weird or crazy. You're going to just have a little extra. You're gonna feel a little more relaxed. It's good for sleeping. That's how Stu uses it. You know, sometimes if I want to watch something weird on the TV, I enjoy it. Anyway, Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code FLOP to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description, but again, that is microdose.com, code FLOP. And before we get back to the show, we do have a personal Jumbotron. This message is for Two from Emmy. And Two says, or wait, Two, that's who it's for. Emmy says, you are one of the most incredible humans I have ever met. Seeing you never fails to bring a smile to my face. I hope this message makes you as happy as you've made me. Happy birthday, babe. I love you so much. That is very, very, very sweet and a great note to return back to the Bell House for the rest of our live show on Morbius.
Did you say something funny while I was gone?
So much. Okay. So much funny stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We covered
I'll
a lot
hear
of
it on
now,
the podcast.
You'll
later.
Hear it when you listen to it.
Now, normally on the podcast, this is where we recommend a movie that you should watch instead of Morbius. And obviously, when you go home tonight, you should fire up fucking Prey, because it rules.
Right.
Have you watched that shit? It's amazing.
No, I'm excited.
Dude.
I love 10 Cloverfield Lane, so I'm excited.
It fucking rules. Like, I haven't seen an action movie in a while that got me that like fired up. It's awesome. Go see it. If you like predators fighting bears and shit.
But so you normally we would recommend stuff and read letters from listeners. But today
we're in person. Hey, we don't have to read letters from listeners. We can take questions from people, which are like,
how do we do that?
Letters that we have removed the middle part.
It's the original letters. Questions in person.
Yeah.
The original letters talking.
There's a microphone right there.
Right there in front. There's a People microphone. Can, everybody. I don't know how much time we have. I don't care how much time we have. We're going to waste your time still.
We should try and keep it to 15 or 20 minutes.
But you heard him, 35 minutes. All right, everybody. Not that long. So before we have a... Please line up. You're doing a great job, everybody. Everybody, stop fighting. No. Put down that broken bottle.
Oh, God.
No. Oh, God. There's a... I'm going to say two things. One very relevant, one not relevant to this.
Okay.
Actually, the not relevant thing I want to mention, bring it in. Okay, anyway, so the relevant thing. Hey, everybody, we've all been at Q&As where someone's up there and they're like talking, but they're not really asking a question. They're just trying to grab that moment where they can be a part of the show. Just like in, those things where you'd go to the mall and you'd take your picture and then they put it in an adventure, like they green screen your face on the hero and you'd be part of the show.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we really appreciate that you're all here. It really means a lot to us. We know you're real excited about us, which is wonderful. Thank you. We can feel it all the way from the stage. But think to yourself this. If I was sitting in the audience and I was listening to someone say this and it wasn't me saying it, would I be interested in it? And if the answer is no, please say something else. but that's to say not in an insulting or a critical way, because we're really excited that you're here.
We're really excited
to be here. So, question away. It's Morbin time, question wise.
Can I pick this up? Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
Probably.
Only belly button questions, please. It's a very low microphone.
Thank you.
Closer it can come to.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, thank
you. And you should all be so amazed at my self-control that I'm not singing a song right now because I want to hear your questions. Okay. Later. I'll sing a song later. No, it's question time.
Song, you're the Elliot.
Are you aware of the Morbius meal at the Look Cinema?
Okay, you're going to have to define some terms in this question. One, all cinemas are Look Cinemas. It's a visual medium.
It's a look with an 8 in the middle. It is a brand of cinema chain, and they have meals for their... character movies.
Okay.
What's
so the
tartine
meal
one?
Is weird.
Yes, and they had a vampire sunrise, which is a sunrise drink that I did not know was alcoholic.
Oh, bless you.
Vampire bites, which are pretzel bites that they've named vampire bites.
Okay, so they don't really bite you. That's good.
No, absolutely not. And cheesy garlic bread, which
wait,
has no
wait,
idea.
But garlic
so
will kill a vampire.
I guess you could be themed from one end or the other. Like,
I guess you're right.
If the Monster Squad has taught us nothing, it's that a handy slice of garlic bread can
be
just the thing.
Yeah, for Jojo Rabbit, we've got our Heil hot dogs. I don't know, Look Cinema. It seems like you don't understand the point of the movie. Vampires don't like garlic, is what I'm saying.
All right, I get it.
It's bad for them. So have you had this meal?
Yes.
Okay, and how was it?
I went for my 19th birthday for our 7th showing of Morbius. We've seen it.
And look, you made fun of me.
You think you're, because you're young, you have all the time in the world. You don't. There's so many better movies you could be watching.
I know.
Watch them now.
This is part of the Morbius... gentlemen's that is the TikTok craze, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where everyone dresses up in a suit and goes to see Morbius.
You dress in a top hat and tails and go see Morbius. Yeah.
That was 7 out of 9.5.
Oh God. Why the half?
Because I fell asleep.
Fair.
During Morbius?
Well,
Audrey also fell asleep during Morbius earlier today.
So. Dan, being a good husband, took a picture of her and texted it to me with a caption that said, "More like Snorbius."
It's a true story.
I have a short follow-up question, which is, would you eat the Morbius meal?
Yeah. I mean, it's just garlic bread and hot dog pretzel bites.
Why not?
Yeah, it's,
I'll eat almost anything.
Yeah, I'll Matt Singer that. Yeah. Okay, good question. Thank you. We all learned something today. You know what? The Morbius you know.
Yes.
Hi there, friends.
Hello.
Hello.
So I've got a pretty simple question, but I want you to all answer this individually in your heads before any of you answers it out loud.
Wow, and that's fucking rules.
just because I don't want you to bias each other.
I didn't know Jigsaw was going to be coming up and make us play a game.
Would you like to play a game? Yeah, for sure. Look, if you touched... E.T., the extraterrestrial, would he feel wet or dry?
That's a very good question. You know what, sir? You were right to set the terms ahead of time.
Okay, do I have to write this down and then I'm we'll reveal it? No,
I feel qualified.
I might need to sleep on it.
I'm going
to
say I don't see any shimmer on him. I feel like he would be dry. I feel like, in the words of The Simpsons talking about Hans Molman, it would be like kissing a peanut.
Certainly when he's dying, he looks very dry and
dusty.
He looks
drier there, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but I would also think he would be fairly dry, but I mean, you should stay away from E.T.'s underside anyway, but that might be a little wetter, yeah.
I mean...
I can already tell you're giving it...
It's really struggling
more
with this.
Thought.
You gotta, like, clean out his wrinkles. That's gotta be
Do
wet,
you?
Right? You gotta clean him out or he gets sick.
Me?
You, Dan. When we... Look, for your 10th
his
birthday...
His body's not...
All right, I guess I signed up for it.
You said he'd take care of your E.T. That means cleaning out his wrinkles. There's all sorts of chip crumbs
true.
In there.
When I asked you to adopt that E.T., you said that I'd be the one to clean up after
yep.
it.
Yep. You gotta take him home, all that stuff, yeah.
I'm gonna say both depending.
All right. I think that's
okay.
fair.
Okay, interesting. Thank you good for... question. Thank you. Yeah. Very good question. Oh, I don't know if I can handle any more brain puzzlers like that.
Follow that one up.
Oh shit. Hi, Andrew, last name withheld. I wanted to take the opportunity to ask the preeminent Topeka focused bad movie podcast.
All right.
As a native Kansan myself, I'm wondering, what is your favorite or least favorite part of Topeka?
I mean, I can say right now, my favorite part of Topeka is the name. It is a great... I love saying Topeka.
Yeah, similarly, I've heard about a bodega there that's worth talking about. But yeah, I've never been to Topeka. I've only been able to vicariously enjoy or despise it through the words of our listeners. And I can't wait to... We've got to do a show in Topeka.
Yeah, my least favorite part, yeah. I guess, is being unsure about... whether we're being unfair to yeah. this.
I
You're not.
We've got to go there for like a week and then do a show that's all about Topeka.
I think I got this one. Okay. I think my favorite part is the mall. And my least favorite part is school.
Oh, look at Stuart cutting the Gordian knot like that. Oh, amazing.
Yeah, he is the coolest of us.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going? Josh, last name withheld.
Hello. Thanks for coming.
So first, I just wanted to pile on the subway scene. The train doesn't stop at the station.
It could be an
express train, but you're right.
But you're
crazy.
That's a good point that it is not. It doesn't seem to be a functioning mass transit system. It seems to be the MTA is operating only as a Morbius pushing system. Yeah. It's a fair point. Fair criticism.
Yeah, and then secondly, I totally forgot the question I was going to ask by the time I got up here, so I'm just going to say you guys all have great shoes on tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Zach, last name withheld.
Hello.
Hello.
So Jared Leto was pretty amazing, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, naturally. Yeah. What a dream.
There are times when I was like not sure he was on the screen. he was exuding so little energy. Yeah.
And it's probably because he was so method. So I was wondering what other movies could be improved or made worse by somebody going so method.
I mean, almost all movies could be made worse by someone going method. There's so many people do terrible things in movies.
Certainly be made worse for that person's coworkers.
Oh,
always.
Yeah.
Always.
Oh, for sure.
That's like...
Unless, let's see.
I mean, Human Centipede, obviously.
Stuart, you're just taunting the one iTunes reviewer who was disgusted by how often Human Centipede was
all
brought
the time.
Up.
That's all we talk about. This is how I sound. Like, why would you put that in iTunes review? I don't care how you sound.
Method. What would be cats?
Yeah.
If they lived as cats.
If they all were cats forever.
At all times.
I'm just a cat now. Yeah, that'd be pretty great. For all time. Dame Judi Dench, now a cat, says that being a cat will not in any way interfere with her future roles.
How she bequeathed all of her riches to herself upon her death.
A local Yorkshire family was amazed to find out that the cat they had adopted was actually famed actress Dame Judi Dench. What first tipped them off that this wasn't a normal cat was the tattoo that said cat life on her tummy. Anyway, I don't really have an answer, but that's a good one. Yeah, let's end it at that. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Claire, last name withheld. Saved it.
You caught yourself real fast. Ooh, good job.
You did it.
Mick, last name withheld. I previously wrote in to say thank you for the podcast because it keeps me company when I'm hospitalized and things like that.
Oh, thank
and
you.
And I thought it might be appropriate to ask if you have any recommendations for comfort sick day kind of movies.
My go-to comfort sick day movie for a long time has always been The Last Unicorn. It's got the saddest soundtrack in the universe.
It's really.
Yeah, there's like.
But it's beautiful.
So wistful for.
I'm a Pisces sun, Cancer moon. Okay. The deep well of emotion.
Yeah, it's sad because, like, I don't know. I like.
Dan, look at your soul.
Dan's like Death Wish. You like?
No. I feel like.
Well, I mean, Dan's real answer would be like some kind of weird 70s Italian sci-fi porn, you know?
No. What I was thinking was, like, I realize as I grow older that I am becoming the thing that, like, bothered me when I was younger. I'm just like, oh, the people who were young at this point are now dominating culture, and everything is nostalgia looking back to their culture. So I feel like shameful that the true thing is like, yeah, I want to regress to the, like, my childhood films, give me a slasher of the 80s or something that I saw on USA Up All Night, even though I know all the problematic elements of it now. Like it just envelops me in this nostalgia, but then I feel bad about it is what I was struggling with inside myself. And, you know, mental struggle is great for podcasting.
For me, it's that double feature, Singing in the Rain and Wizard of Oz. Love them both. Fear, joy on film, but they also made me cry at the end. Beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And also, I have the discharge hospital bracelet.
You do? Okay, great. Okay, stick around. Don't go anywhere. Yeah.
That is to be signed later.
Yeah, yeah.
For the audience who might be confused.
I'm collecting them so I can sneak into a hospital and kill nurses.
And because steal I'm blood, because I'm a living vampire.
I'm a living vampire, but it's hard to get into hospitals these days. And you can't find blood elsewhere. It's not like people are just walking around full of blood. Anyway.
Wait a minute.
Hi, I'm Fleet. So first of all, I just want to pitch for Hinterlands. Thanks for the best first date bar.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I own a little bar called Hinterlands. It's great. Come visit.
Yeah.
You won the Nobel Prize for it, but you turned it down.
I turned it down.
Reject it brutally. So I actually have a Morbius question that really confused me when I watched the movie, and I'm wondering if you could clear it up.
Katie, you're the expert.
Yeah, I need... So they set up that Matt Smith and Morbo have, like, the same power sets.
Morbo.
Yep.
Yeah.
How
did the bats pick which one to support?
That's a good question. You're right.
Just political views that breaks
no
down
idea.
Along.
Because bats, unlike a lot of other... Here's something I'm going to tell you. Animals that are awake during the day, like humans, are chaotic evil. Now, animals that are awake at night, bats... Possums, some people, but not most of them, are chaotic good. So they can just recognize the goodness. Ironically, Jared Leto, as we said, probably not a great guy, but in the movie he's playing a good guy. Well, he's not that good a guy. You know what? I think it's just because he's just friends with those. Maybe they're the bats from the tube and they just heard him and went down there. I don't know.
Yeah, the bats are like, I know that guy. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
He's the guy who cleans up all of our shit.
Yeah. That's the guy the tube bats were talking about. Yeah, we'll help him out. Hey!
My cousin was talking about you!
Look at this guy, it's Morbius! Bobby!
Some kind of living vampire over here!
Bobby! Forget about it, come on! Oh, I love these bats. Yeah. What do you think? You guys think you go have some blood? Should we get some blood tonight? Yeah, why not? Let's get some blood. Yeah, sure, we're bats. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's Thursday!
Thursday, blood night, get dressed up! Yeah.
I hope that helps. I don't know.
And you know those bats, they're biting someone. They go, oh, best blood. You don't get blood like this in other cities. Only in New York, best blood.
It's the law.
You mean the blood on First Avenue. That's the best blood. Fuck you. Blood on Bleecker. Come on.
Best blood.
Best blood in the city. That means it's the best blood in the country, which means it's the best blood in the world. Anyway, so... yes, you have a question about New York Bats? What if the New York Dolls were called the New York Bats, guys?
Bit extended. Okay, anyway.
Hi, Leo, last name withheld. So in the past, you've covered the Nick Cageification of John Cusack, and tonight you covered the Tommy Wiseauification of Jared Leto. So yes. I want to know, who is a weird actor that you want to see become an even weird actor? Mine would be Ryan Gosling becoming Steven Seagal.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be an interesting transformation.
Actors getting weirder.
I mean, I feel like Timothy Chalamet is on the Johnny Depp trail right now.
Sorry, Chalamet?
Whatever, I don't know how to pronounce his name. There's half the letters you don't even say.
I feel like he's hoarding letters.
I feel like there's only enough time for that pale, elfin little guy. There's only so much time before he becomes a real weirdo.
I mean, I think Robert Pattinson is just on like a road to get as weird as he can. Yeah. And I appreciate that.
Robert Pattinson is becoming just like my idea of what David Cronenberg is.
I hold in my heart that local celebrity Michael Shannon can get weirder. It's possible. I see him walking around the neighborhood, bag of beers and his mustache.
You got a little more in the basement, Michael, you say?
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing I miss about Brooklyn, just walking around and seeing John Turturro yelling at cars. Anyway, good question. Thank you. I feel like there's room for a good, legitimately weird new actors. Yeah, who get real weird.
Okay, let's put a Craigslist ad out for weird actors.
Yeah. Must be weird.
Hello, I wanted to ask if you think this movie would be any better if the main character is Milo as someone who's misnamed by someone named Michael Morbius and then gets revenge by having the best dance moves.
Holy shit.
Matt Smith has so much more fun in this movie than the character with more in his name.
I think you've tapped into a much better version of the movie. It is incredible that he's like, my name's Lucien. No, it's not. It's Milo. You're Milo now. Hero of the movie. Do what I say. Like, that's...
Lucien is like a perfect vamp name.
Yeah, it is.
It's supposed to be this moment of like showing like how cynical this kid is at this young age that like, oh, the two previous Milos have already died, like, and I won't learn anyone's new name. But it really sets off this hero on a sour note.
It
just continues.
Well, it makes me wish, that now there was a version of this movie that was not so... Morbinormative, I'm going to call it, where it's like, and that was more of the like a Oscar Wilde decadent phase type movie, which I guess is Interview with the Vampire to a certain extent, where it's like, yeah, let's be a vampire, let's just like do bad stuff, like come on, we're vampires, you know?
Yeah, because it's just degrees of living vampire, like both of them are murderers who drink blood.
Well, I feel like I've been tinkering with, and I don't think I'll do it yet. I feel like I've never seen a good movie about capitalist vampires. Like, I haven't seen one yet that goes all the way. And it's like, make that movie. Like, Milo...
Hollywood, you're scared to go all the way with your capitalist vampire movie.
Like, Milo is clearly, like, he's a rich guy in it, but they never want to go all the way to, like, a rich person who is preying on the underclass or something like that. Like,
so you look kind of like Society, but instead of faces coming out of butts, it's vampires.
Well, I mean, Society, I feel like Society doesn't really say that message clearly. It does have a face coming out of a butt, but still. I mean, someone just yells Society at one point, and that's the message, But it would be a better movie. That goes without saying.
I am taking control of this line. It is hot in here. I apologize to everyone that it is hot in here. We will get through the line, and then we will say goodnight. But your question, please.
Catherine, last name withheld. Hi, guys. As a person from Kansas, I am certainly on the non-Topeka train.
Okay, interesting.
But I will chat about that with anyone else from Kansas here. My question is, as a group of people who have seen both Death on the Nile and Cats, would you prefer to watch a film that is a straight-laced murder mystery, a la Death on the Nile, except for all the characters are the characters from Cats, or would you prefer to watch...
Well, we know it's McCavity.
Well...
There's no mystery there. He's broken every human law.
Or... Would you prefer to watch a murder mystery with human characters, except it is in the style of a musical revue a la Cats?
Oh.
You guys, love musicals.
I have to say that you were describing the first option. I'm like, this second option better be pretty fucking good for me to not go for the Cats murder mystery.
Nobody leave and the room. Old say, Deuteronomy has been murdered.
It did. It
for a second you were describing Dan's next birthday party.
Guys, let's do a murder mystery birthday, but all of you please dress in leotards.
My name
do
is...
a lot of meow.
What I love is that Dan is presenting it like he's like asking everyone to do it, but usually he sends an email that's like, okay, everybody be here, you're wearing this.
And then you open the door and he's wearing a mustache that has whiskers. He goes, Dan, I'm Hercule Poirot. Meow, meow. I'll be investigating this meowerder tonight. And and I'm like, I flew out from L.A. for this.
Now that's how I know it's a fantasy.
Well, if it was like our 50th birthday.
Sure.
Big one.
Option A. I go with option A. What do you
think? Yeah, that's option A.
I think they're both, I mean, if for this question, option A, but I do kind of like, I do like the idea of if someone could pull off a musical murder mystery like that, where it's just people introducing themselves in song, I mean, that would be pretty amazing, but it would take someone of amazing musical ability to do it. Better than me.
Whew. Thank you.
Oh, you really dodged a song on that one. Yeah. Good question, though.
You're looking off into the sky. Yeah. Things gonna start.
I like to leave the audience with an anticlimax at the end of every answer. Yeah.
Hi, guys. Sam, last name withheld. So every year, my wife and I watch, in October, try to watch as many horror, thriller, or just Halloween-themed movies as possible.
Mm-hmm. Hocus Pocus, et cetera.
Hocus Pocus.
First October, yeah.
Yeah. Ernest Scared Stupid, yeah.
So are there any horror thrillers or Halloween-themed movies you guys can recommend that aren't torture porn or rely on jump scares?
Rely on jump.
My number one Halloween movie that I always recommend. I wouldn't describe it as either of those things. Is Night of the Demons, the original. It's great. Thank you. Give me at least one woo. I don't know. It's like kind of the perfect like haunted house Halloween party that turns into a demon murder fest. It's great.
I would go for that sort of thing. There's some jump scares in it, but Trick or Treat, Michael Dougherty movie that's like kind of an anthology movie, but it's more like just different types of horror intertwined on Halloween.
Elliot's going to say, what, Cries and Whispers, Hello?
Well, everyone knows, on record, Persona is the scariest movie I've ever seen, but it's like these two women, their identities are merging. This is terrifying. If you haven't seen, you may have watched already, if you haven't seen the original The Haunting, the Robert Wise The Haunting, it's an old movie, but it's very creepy scary, and there's a scene where you're just looking at a wall, basically, and I was like, this is very scary right now. So, and there's nothing less jump scare than a wall. It can't move. So that's what
you
I would say.
You could literally stare at one to calm down right now.
Yeah, that's true. Unless there was a scary face painted on it. Yeah. Dan, would it calm you down to stare at a wall with a scary face painted on it?
How cool is this face?
Okay, good question. Next question, please. Yeah. We'll talk about this later, because I painted a scary face on your wall.
Hi, I'm Wednesday, last name withheld. First, I have to compliment a cape because I actually use it as a for Vampire the Masquerade, the game that I run.
Cool.
Thank you. It's a very good game.
Cool dude alert, everybody.
I want to ask you, what do you think Matthew Smith has done to deserve this? As a film career, it's not been great. Between this Terminator, and I'm sure he's been in a lot of other bad films.
He was in Last Night in Soho, which is not good, but he's good in it.
A movie I like better than Stuart, but yes, it's not widely beloved. He's not... post-doctor, he's not had the greatest luck.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know really much about him otherwise.
He's going to be a Targaryen soon, everybody.
Yeah. Sometimes people just don't get the breaks. Sometimes they're kind of thrust into that... into the kind of...
Are you going to ask me which Targaryen he's going to be?
Not interested. sometimes an actor...
Like, your own good feelings...
We'll talk about later.
Okay. Sometimes an actor, through no fault of their own, gets thrust into what's called the heavy role, where they're just kind of like the bad dude that the hero has to either fight or get over or whatever. But Maybe he just loves making these movies. He's like, I want to be in these movies that are like not that good, and I'm like a bad guy in them. But he's English, so he's like, that's what I want to do. You know, that kind of thing.
As someone who came to the new Doctor Who episode starting with him as
Doctor New,
as the Doctor, I do think that also in that role, there's a lightness that like tempers a lot of like he's got a weird vibe, which is good and like engaging in what makes him a good like character actor for things, but I think that the lightness that he brings in the Doctor is not something that's there when he's like cast as the villain all the time, and it's not serving him well. I don't know.
Yeah, he looks like a bad guy, so they make him a bad guy, but he's a lot more fun than that. So
yeah, he's a fun guy.
He's a fun guy.
Yeah,
he's
so
a real
and then,
mushroom.
Like, this episode's going to come out a day after something terrible about him comes out.
All right. We're so close to the end. We're
two
doing
questions
it, guys.
Left.
What?
Oh. Dos preguntas.
Hi, my name's Peter, and I was just wondering where you thought Milo got all his money.
Oh,
good
see,
question.
I
think it's because Otis died and left him all that cash.
I mean, I did assume he inherited it, but
did
I didn't think it was Otis.
Did somebody boo Otis?
I mean, because the sad reality is a lot of Milo's notices died in the making of that movie, so
oh,
I didn't
God.
Do it. I said sad. Yeah.
Look, I feel bad about the thing I made up.
Yeah. I wish. But so, where did Milo get? I always assumed he inherited it, that he was a rich guy. I assume Morbius has money, too. You know, the Jared Harris Hospital of Greece does not come cheap. But what do you guys think?
I kind of figured, like, oh, he's, like, this kind of weird, like, kid genius, and maybe he had a little seed money and invested well and, like, gambles a lot.
Online poker or something.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys who, maybe all this time, he's one, because he certainly starts acting like a real showboating creep when he gets all blooded up. Maybe he's one of these guys who like just makes himself seem rich on Instagram and then makes money off of that. So he's always like, he'll like go to a place where there's a fuselage of a prop plane. He'll take a picture of himself walking off of it and be like, returning from Dubai or something like that. And he hires a bunch of women to like lay in a bed with him and takes a picture and is like, Tuesday, you know.
Like, this is all going to pay off when I become a vampire later.
I just need to make enough. Well, that's the thing.
Just
on Instagram, he's been pretending to be a vampire all this time. So when Morbius is like, I have a cure, he's like, oh, God, I hope it turns me into a vampire because I've been living a lie for so long.
If it turns me into a Van Helsing, I'm fucked.
Thank you. And finally.
Hello. That's good. Last question. What is goth and is Dr. Michael Morbius goth?
Ooh, what is goth, and is Dr. Michael Morbius a goth? Well, that's a good question.
the traditional...
I would argue he's
the traditional
well.
Stalling tactic. That's a good question.
Good question.
I mean, I just imagine that... Look, there are two goth pillars in my mind.
Go on.
On the one hand, I imagine Robert Smith up here above my left shoulder.
Yep.
On the other hand, I imagine Death from the Sandman comics.
But the name's similar to Morbius.
Yeah.
And I think that I wouldn't see them all hanging out together necessarily.
Well, I mean,
but
Robert
I could
Smith
see
and Death
Morbius,
from the Sandman comics
you know,
do hang
trying
out together,
to
yeah.
trying to be like them. So yeah.
And Morbius,
yes.
think so?
Morbius cares more though. Isn't part of being goth like not caring?
No,
oh, I don't know about that.
No, I think goths care a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, part of being goth is caring a painful amount.
Yeah. It's why you literally put a barrier of face paint between you and the world. It's because, yeah. But, yeah, I would say I don't think he's a goth. I'll tell you what. I don't think so. You know why? He didn't choose that lifestyle. He doesn't feel an affinity with it. He's just a bad. Like, that's... Like, he's not... Just because he... And he's, like, walking around in a... hooded sweatshirt with the hood pulled down. He's like, you know, society's based on a lie. I'm a bat. And it's like, now that I'm a bat, I can see it. It's
he never
not
like
real.
He never talks about his feelings except for how he feels now that he's a super hard body, right?
Yeah, and I feel like you don't usually...
How do you feel now that you're a super hard body, Sue? Let's take a look at these thighs. Can we...
I'm not really that comfortable with the way Dana's objectifying Stuart right now.
the it seemed like days. A good way to end things on a high.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, fair. So I, you know what? So what are our votes? You say yes, goth.
I say yes, goth.
I say no, goth. Being a goth is all about life stakes. Let's
I'm
die.
Gonna say no, goth.
Oh,
yeah.
Not a goth.
You heard it not in Rockport by a vote of 2-1.
And you
to
know
one.
What? Let's keep the energy going and say that's the show. Thank you, Brooklyn. I've been Dan McCoy.
I've been Stuart Wellington.
I've been Elliot Kalin. Not a goth, but goth adjacent.
Here's a little story about Jurassic Park. Just a little park full of dinosaurs. Oh, yeah, they were
extinct. Give me up on the idea of rhyming.
Thanks to DNA, they brought them all back.
Thank you. It's a very easy song to parody.
Explaining the plot to Jurassic Park.
Well, that's only the premise. So there's this paleontologist named Alan Grant.
No.
Doesn't much like kids.
No.
He works with Ellie Sattler.
Well, save it for a mini.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.